There's a final thought that I'd like to share with you all about the hope and the good news that the Bible gives us. I want to speak to you about Ian's future. Ian's future. I know that might sound strange to a service like this, remembering his life. But this is the amazing hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us. Ian has a wonderful, glorious future. I'd like to read to you from the book of Revelation, and from chapter 7, from verse 9. And in this passage, the Bible gives us a vision of life in heaven, in the glory where God is. The scripture says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them, and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. In this vision from God, it's as if the curtain or the veil between us and heaven and the realm above the curtain is pulled back for a moment, and we're given a glimpse of life there, of the glory there. Of course, this is deeply symbolic. The Bible uses these pictures. Sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. But all the details mean something. To try to convey to us here in this mortal sphere what life there is like in a way that we can understand. And in the vision, the saints of God are dressed in white robes, representing their purity, their righteousness, the righteousness of those in heaven. How they have been washed clean of all their sins. If you think back to the Bible times, walking along dusty, dirty, muddy roads every day, and no washing machines, no one had dazzling white clothes. And if you did, if you were amongst the elite, it wouldn't last very long. Just as in a spiritual sense, for each of us, as we walk through life, our souls pick up stains. and marks and dirt. We all sin every day. We all fall short of what we should be. But the saints in heaven, they've been washed clean. Washed clean. It means forgiven of everything that they could have ever done wrong. Every spot and stain, all cleansed. It's telling us heaven is not filled with perfect or good people who deserved it or who earned it. Because we've all done wrong. We've all sinned. Every one of us in this world are dirty in that spiritual sense. But no one deserves that glory. But the good news is that heaven is full of forgiven people. Forgiven people. People who are saved. Who are given grace and love that they don't deserve. People who've been given the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. The vision tells us, how did they get these white robes? They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Again, what does that mean? It's talking about Christ's death. Christ is the Lamb. He's the sacrifice of God. His death on the cross was in our place. It was to atone for our wrongdoing. And so it's that death, it's that blood that washes us clean. And that's how any of us come into the presence above to find ourselves clothed with white robes. At a Thanksgiving service like this, we were thinking about the past, and I don't know about you, but it often makes me reflective, and I think about regrets and things that I haven't said that I should have said, or said that I shouldn't have said. And I don't know if you feel like that sometimes, haunted by past failures. This scripture is telling you about Ian's future. He's dressed in white. He's robed now in glory. He's forgiven. And he's free. And his future is there now, in the glory, thanks to Jesus Christ. The picture goes on to tell us about the perfect peace that the saints there enjoy. They've come through what the angel calls the great tribulation. They've overcome it. What does that mean? Well, the great tribulation is life in this fallen and broken world. Life is difficult. There are cancers. There are griefs and there are sorrows. The world is marred by these things, but coming to Jesus Christ and washed clean, we're then brought into the presence of God day and night forever. There's not time to go into all of it, but if you unpack that language that the Bible uses, it's telling us that this is a wonderful place. It's a new creation. It's a new Eden. It's in the presence of God. He himself is love, is light and life. And in that perfect realm, there's nothing to fear. We've all been afraid this past year, haven't we? And there's no harm. But the way the scripture puts it, there's no hunger or thirst. There's no want, there's no need of anything. There's no heat from the sun to strike them. It's telling us there's a perfection of life. There's perfect peace. There's a fullness of life. It's a life unspoiled by any of sin and its defects. Isn't this just the most beautiful picture? This is Ian's future. This is Ian's future. No more cancer. No more weakness. And then taking us to the highest point of all, it tells us the Lord will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That the Lamb will shepherd them and lead them. Now, those are all wonderful ways of describing how the Lord Jesus is with his people there. Tenderly he cares for them. It's another way of saying what the Bible means when it says he is the good shepherd. And he He loves us. You know, these words, they've got to be some of the most beautiful in all the Bible. We will be with Jesus himself. We will know God. How wonderful life in the presence of Christ must be. As it said in that passage in 2 Corinthians, it is far better to be absent from the body, to be with Christ. So how good must that be? This is Ian's future. We miss Ian, and we mourn for him, but we can also surely rejoice for him. I may have mentioned this to some of you before, but not too long ago, I was sitting with Ian one evening, and I think Claire had, it was a birthday party or something, had gone out, and Ian and I ended up watching a TV program about a farmer somewhere in Yorkshire, I think, and his family, bring an old-fashioned family farm. And at one point, the farmer's out on his rounds, and he comes across a sheep stuck in a hedge, helplessly bleating, stuck. So I guess sheep are a bit like that, a bit daft and helpless, which is probably why the Bible says we are sheep. And the farmer, he pulled it out, carried it in his arms, and he took it back to the barn to tend its cuts and its scratches. And I get, maybe that happens all the time on the farm. But that moment has stuck with me in thinking about Ian. As a picture of God's kindness, of the Good Shepherd. He's taken our Ian home. He's lifting him up out of these wounds that he's known, and as the scripture says, drying up all his tears, and he's carried him home. That's Ian's future. The Lord Jesus said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." This has been such a hard time for all of us, and so hard to have to say farewell to Ian and to the family. I'm sure you know how much we all love you and continue to pray for you, but also how much of a blessing you are to us. And all of this is hard, but Jesus Christ has given us real hope, real peace. And I know that Ian would want me, it was one of the last things he ever said to me, he would want me to invite everyone here to believe the good news about Jesus. We've all had so much bad news, haven't we? There is real good news. Everything is different because of Christ. He really is God's Son. And he really saves. And he really gives life. One very final thought. If it has sounded strange to speak about Ian's future, it's nothing compared to an incident where the Lord Jesus once went to a funeral. A widow in a city called Nain had lost her only son. It was desperately sad, but also dangerous for her, who would care for her and support her. And in the midst of the funeral procession, the whole town taking him out to bury him, Jesus comes across them and he stops them. Almost as if he stood before the body, stopping this. And the first thing is he says to the widow, "Do not weep. Do not weep." That's a strong thing to say in the circumstances, isn't it? Can you imagine? And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And he performs a miracle, and he raises the dead boy to life and gave him to his mother. Do not weep, indeed. But for us, reading this now, hearing this now, that was a sign. It was a promise, if you will. It was a demonstration for us to give us faith that he really does have power over death. And so in the same spirit, I think the Lord Jesus would say to us today, do not weep. Be comforted. But think of Ian's future in the presence of the Lord. And may God give us all the grace to follow him there. Let us pray. Our Lord and Father, you are the God who cannot lie. And we thank you for the promise of eternal life. The promise that you made before the ages began. And now made manifest in the gospel of your Son. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us this hope for Ian. We thank you that he is now in the presence of Christ, rejoicing and alive forevermore. And we humbly ask, Lord, that in our hearts you would give us the faith to see this, to be comforted by this, to know it, and even to rejoice. And all of us here, Lord, would humbly ask to commit Claire especially and all the family into the hands of our loving Saviour. And we ask, Lord, for the days and years ahead, that they would always be able to look ahead and know that there is a future. And we ask, Lord, that your peace and your Holy Spirit may rest upon them and each of us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.